talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, wishing you a belated Happy Independence Day. And I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song, what a great version of the Star Spangled Banner, performed by Chris Stapleton live from Super Bowl 57 a couple years ago in Glendale, Arizona. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show, Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which takes place every January. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We've got a very interesting interview with architect Joel Adrian with Coastal Creek Design. We urge you to pick up the brand new issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, our summer issue, which has an awesome feature called The Architect Difference. And we talked to architect Joel Adrian with Coastal Creek Design about the project featured in the latest issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and also the value of hiring an architect in general. We'll also be speaking with Jack Holt with 84 Lumber, and also interior designer Robin Branch with Robin Branch Design. Well, I did mention the brand new issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine. It's available now. Pick it up in just about any home-related showroom throughout Charleston, and continue having a great weekend. And now we're talking with architect Joel Adrian with Coastal Creek Design. How are you doing, Joel?
I'm doing great today. Thank you for this time to chat with you.
You bet. Joel, take a moment and tell everyone about Coastal Creek Design.
Sure. Coastal Crete Design is a design firm that targets residential design in the Charleston area. So we do work anywhere from Seabrook Island to Sullivan's Island, Isle of Palms, Mount Pleasant, Daniel Island, this whole general area. I believe that we're a little unique in that we have architects, architectural designers, and structural engineers in the same firm. And so we're able to look at, I believe, other than site aspects, all aspects of a residential design for a client as we move through the process of conceptual, preliminary to final drawings.
Right. And tell our listeners why that's important in terms of having structural engineers on staff as well as design professionals like yourself.
Sure. For a set of drawings to be permitted in any of those zoning jurisdictions that I've mentioned previously, you need a set of architectural plans, structural plans, and then typically some grading and potentially landscape architectural plans. But first two components are going to be required for your permit. And so to have both of those in the same office just, I believe, expedites the process. So instead of me working individually on a house design with a client, getting that design finished and then passing that baton and that plan set off to a structural engineer, them starting their work, calling me with questions about, you know, Joel, did you understand that your great room span is X and our beams are going to be Y because of the span and the loads that they're carrying, and potentially you've got a drop beam now in a great room or in a space that you didn't want to have. We basically head all that off early on in the process, so we don't have any surprises that we're springing on our clients after they've fallen in love with the design and are ready to start to be built. So I think it's very, very beneficial. And also renovation work, specifically when we do our renovation work, we have a wonderful set of as-built drawings, very detailed, and we are able to target how that renovation best utilizes the existing foundations to minimize cost.
Yeah, the architect may draw a beautiful house plan, but you need the structural engineer to look at that house plan and determine whether it is strong enough and meets all the codes. So the structural engineer sort of confirms that everything is going to be okay. The house isn't going to sink in the ground or have problems later on. So the right hand, having both the structural engineer and the architect under one roof, the right hand really knows what the left hand is doing, right?
That is correct, and it's I've worked years as a residential designer and didn't do it that way. And it's been, you know, the last three and a half years of being part of the Coastal Crete Design team where it's all in the same office, and it is definitely a smoother process. And I believe it's helped me as how I think about my design in terms of where I'm putting walls, how I'm foreseeing things and making sure that I'm not creating something where we're going to have a 24-inch deep four-ply LVL beam in a 16-inch floor system that needs to be dropped because we've got HVAC running through, and all of a sudden I've got this thing hanging 2 feet down into my room.
Mm-hmm.
Those are huge changes to space planning and volumes of space that clients are expecting the design team to take care of and handle for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And Coastal Crete Design, you folks are part of a feature that we have in the brand new issue, our summer issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, called The Architect Difference. And we use that title for this feature in our summer issue because there is clearly a difference between a home that was designed by an architect versus one that wasn't. And take a moment and just talk about some of the advantages that a homeowner will appreciate working with an architect versus maybe cutting that corner and going with a house plan that they get online, or sometimes even winging it and trying to design their own home.
Sure. Thank you for that question. I think that someone that is educated and experienced in design is critical to the success of a project. I don't know of any custom lot that one looks just like the next looks just like the next. And if you're investing in a custom lot, or if you've got a home that you've enjoyed for 10 years or even just recently purchased and are looking to make significant improvements to it, getting someone involved that has experience and knowledge, not just of the way that people enjoy living down here in Charleston, but how plans are put together and understanding construction, and when I do X, it leads to Y and it produces Z, is very important. There's no house plan that's been drawn, I think, that can just get slapped on any lot. Even when people find book plans or production plans, typically they're seeking someone to modify or make changes to those, because everybody lives a little bit differently. Even though we're all looking for a lot of the same spaces, we need the kitchen, we need the great room, we need some place to eat, we need some bedrooms and bathrooms and some outdoor living, everybody experiences those and wants those in different order and in different positioning and plan. And so hiring someone that has experience and has been doing it for years, I consider myself an old young guy. I graduated Clemson back in 91, School of Architecture. I've been drawing in Charleston since 2000, all residential. And that experience, certainly I've learned a whole lot. And I feel like I bring great knowledge to a project for someone. And the way we do our meetings, they're very open. They're great discussions. And clients are involved. And we give opinions. We put down on paper. We draw options. And we discuss. And we rule out things that aren't going to work just right. And we focus on areas that are. And then we take those that need more improvement and continue to work, draw, and eventually get the product that the client is excited about and can't wait to experience and live in.
Yeah. And talk about how Coastal Creek Design involves the homeowner in the design process, because just a few months ago we had our Charleston Home and Design magazine launch party, which was hosted by Coastal Creek Design, and I got a chance to tour your office, and beautiful, beautiful office, and I believe it was Brian, the CEO of Coastal Creek Design, showed me the conference table where you folks are where a homeowner would sit with you folks, and you would do like sketches on the on electronic sketches on the big screen TV and so forth. Talk about that process a little bit.
Sure, thank you for that that question, because we're very, very pleased with our office. We're located at 501 Branson Court in Mount Pleasant. Had a great turnout for the party out in front of our space, and our office is set up where we have the architects in one part, the structural engineers another, and we've got two conference rooms. And the way we involve clients is that we get the clients into the conference room with us, and we bring their plans up on the computer, and they're projected up onto some large TV screens. And then we just start to go through and focus on, if it's the first meeting, if we're explaining what our thoughts were in the design to the client, how we came up with the orientation and the positioning of each space. If it's a second or third design meeting, we usually have certain specific areas that were required to be studied, and we bring those up and we start to go over the changes that were proposed with the client. And then we discuss and we talk about, you know, here was our original, this is where it's moved to, you know, what are their thoughts on that? And they may say, you know, is it possible to move this here, change this here? And we actually start drawing those changes for them in that meeting. And so by the time the meeting is done, the majority of the time we've got a revised plan that's not perfect, but it is, it's a new schematic that we can print and hand to the client as they leave, which gives them something to take home and to study further. And then they can email us or call us and let us know if what we did in the meeting is going to work for them, or if there are additional changes that that they'd like to see. Mm-hmm. And if they like what's there, then we take our design to the next stage. You know, typically there's a conceptual, preliminary, and then a final. And so depending on what stage we're in the process, we move it to the next stage. If there are things to restudy, we usually get a follow-up meeting scheduled for that client quickly and ask them to come back in the office, and we'll make some changes and bring them up and have that discussion all over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think your process at Coastal Creek Design is incredibly impactful, because when we built our house 15 years ago, we hired an architect, and there wasn't the amount of communication that you're indicating that Coastal Creek Design does with your clients. And we would have to wait long periods of time to see how the plan was coming along. In the meantime, we're getting invoices and we're wondering, what are we paying for? Where are we with the process and everything like that? So that's very impressive that Coastal Creek Design has that particular process.
Thank you for that. And I'll say, even not to address fee structures and all, but I think our fee structure is very fair deposit, and then we don't invoice until we've provided clients with tangible work to be shown that, hey, we've done XYZ, and so that's what's generated that follow-up invoice. The client is always in the know of why they're getting invoiced and where their project stands.
Mm-hmm. Are you starting with, do you ask the homeowner to provide you with like a wish list of things that you want in their house, or how does that take place in terms of the homeowner expressing what they want in their new home and Coastal Creek Design putting those pieces of the puzzle together?
Yes, every project starts with two main components. It's a piece of property that the homeowner has purchased, and then what their program is for the house that they want. And so when we first meet, sometimes we'll have a survey, sometimes we won't. If we don't have a survey, we'll bring up information or something on the screen so we can kind of get an idea of what the lot looks like, if there's specific natural features to capture as far as room views. And those, if they don't have a survey, those first meetings are really just general and grabbing a client's program and understanding what sort of overall square footage they like, number of bedrooms, bathrooms. And again, like I said, if there's features on the lot to capture. And then once we have that and we finally get that survey, we start sketching on that survey and laying things out. We'll provide a couple of options and get that client back in and start that ball rolling as far as going from conceptual to preliminary to final on drawings.
You know, I don't know if this is a dumb question or not, but one of the things that we experienced in the design process was we kept asking the architect how big is this house going to be, and she really couldn't tell us. And that was taking that a step further. We were also wondering, you know, is we gave her our wish list. She was certainly going to do what we asked her to do in terms of integrating all those things into the house. But then the big question we were kind of on pins and needles wondering, are we going to be able to afford to build this house after, you know, after the design is done? How does Coastal Creek Design address that kind of a situation?
So I'll say that we usually are able to tell a client a general dollar amount per square foot. When we start our meetings, if it's new construction, depending on the location of the house, we'll give them a range and say, as long as your budget is in this range, and if your square footage is, you know, 3,000, 3,500, 4,000, whatever that number is, and you're comfortable with the high part of that range, then let's start our design and let's start moving forward. Mm-hmm. As far as the overall size of the house, from the very beginning, conceptual drawings, we will have a proposed square footage. So the client might say, hey, we're looking at 3,500 square feet. We get that program. We start to sketch. Maybe we're at 3,650. So they know, hey, we're at 3,650. Then we can start the discussion of, do we need to pull this in a little bit to get us closer to 3,500, or are we okay? Or are there rooms that I can shave a little here and I'm good with this here, and we end up with, you know, 3,575 or something. Mm-hmm. So we're very open about the size of the house, where we can potentially pull square footage, communicating with the client, you know, here's where things are at, this is what we think the budget's going to come in at, and making sure they're pleased with that. Mm-hmm. And they're okay and they're on board with where the project's tracking. We also are happy if there's a builder that's already selected and we're not doing a set of drawings that's for bid. There's a builder that's selected, that builder is welcome to be in every one of our design meetings. You know, it's I always say that our plans, it's open book. You know, we're putting together a set of documents that someone has to bid and build, and we don't want any hidden surprises to our client. So if they've got a builder, they're welcome to be in the room. They can hear the discussions from conceptual design to final design, understand the materials and the spaces that we're trying to achieve. And the process is pretty smooth when all the team is together from an early point.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I've heard the phrase that architects are frustrated artists, and so they it's possible the architect could draw something that the builder's going to be scratching their head and wondering, how am I going to make this happen? And the right hand knows what the left hand's doing. If there's a builder involved, you can. And the builder might have some suggestions on value engineering, this or that. Like, for instance, our architect had spec'd plywood on the floors, for example, and our builder had said, can we use Advantech subfloor material? Yes. Instead? And so there's, yeah, it's critical to have that communication with the between the architect and the builder.
I think it certainly is, and then I'll kind of take this back to the beginning and talk about the importance of having structural and architectural in the same office, and that as we're going through that design, and the builder, if there is a builder selected, they're in the room and they've got any questions, we can grab our structural engineer and bring them in there and start to have those discussions as well. If there aren't, we always, with all our projects, whether it's an addition, renovation, or new construction, when the drawings go out to bid, or if they go to that builder and they've been submitted for permit, we offer for that builder to come into our office and sit down with our team. If they hadn't been in the meetings, they sit down with our team and we would go through that structural design with them so they understand why we put beams where we did, where we're expecting HVAC to potentially run, where our point loads are generated, and why piers are where they're located. And just give them an idea of our thought process so they're not just having to read the drawings and guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the project that is featured in the brand new issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine, our summer issue. The feature is called The Architect Difference, and this particular house, you told me before we started the interview, is on Captain's Island on Daniel Island. Can you describe the design and why was it important that the homeowners hired Coastal Creek Design to create the house plan for this particular property?
Sure. So it was, this house is on Captain's Island and Daniel Island, and at the end of a cul-de-sac, and the lot is, I guess the phrase would be pie-shaped. It sits on the marsh, and it has wonderful views of Ralston Creek, and then you get the Ravenel Bridge way off in the distance. And so there were specific, you know, when you have a, I'm sorry, back when we have a lot that's sitting on the water like that, there are definitely many rooms that you want to be able to experience that view from. And so we sat down and talked with that client, and it was like the kitchen, the dining, the great room, the master suite, to make sure that we've got views. And the challenge with the pie-shaped lot is that there are front build two lines, there are zoning restrictions, requirements, and so we've got to figure out how to get this house to be towards the front as required, but then open up at the back, driveways in, getting that outdoor living to work. This house has magnificent outdoor living space. There's a porch that comes off of the master suite that has the bed swing. Then you can walk a little bit, you get to the pool, which is centered on the great room, which has the folding accordion doors to open up the great room to the outside. There's retractable screens. You can screen the porch, keep it open, and then eventually you get to the outdoor kitchen, living and entertainment space that's off to the other side. And those spaces designed to make sure that one outdoor living space doesn't impact the view from an indoor living space, that you're able to be in that great room, see out those doors across the pool, and I get to see Ralston Creek. You're in that master suite, I see through my porch, and I'm enjoying the marsh. You're in the kitchen, dining area, and the outdoor kitchen isn't blocking that view either. So all of those components and pieces put together are challenging, and I believe that hiring a professional very important when you have a piece of property that is special at this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I think I've always heard that's one of the most important factors in hiring an architect is the placement of the home on the lot, on the property itself, determining the best sight lines and the best way to catch the prevailing breezes so that you can take advantage of those outdoor spaces and not be in dead zone of no air movement or something.
Yes, and studying sunrise, sunset. Sometimes, you know, your lot, it gets a little tricky with sunrise, sunset breezes because it's oriented a certain way, but certainly doing what we can to capture those features for our clients.
Mm.
And then we also provide 3D renderings and modeling for our clients so that we put our houses together, our additions together, and we generate 3D models so that the client can fully understand the massing of the home and the relationship of this space to that space.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not used to looking at 2D elevations, you know, for 30 years, when you see one, you might say, oh yeah, I like the way that looks. But when you actually get that 3D model of how this roof intersects that roof and how the size of this piece to that piece, it really opens up all the client's eyes, and they can let us know, yes, I love the way this is looking, or can we work on this a little more?
Yeah, I've always had a great respect for architects, interior designers, and builders who can look at a flat set of plans and visualize what it looks like. But me as the homeowner, I really have no idea. And I think that's incredibly important to be able to show your clients a 3D version before you've gotten too far in the process, so that they can envision what their finished home will look like and make any appropriate changes that need to be made.
yes, that's true. And I'll put one last piece in when talking about like this this home and the importance of hiring a professional. That every city, town, potentially HOA, they have different zoning restrictions for properties, and getting a professional that is used to working within and with different zoning administrators and ordinances is very, very important, so that you don't start to run down a path and then find out that, oh, you know, I'm over my maximum lot coverage for the property, or, oh, I've got a maximum heated square footage building area ratio that I have for a certain property. And to have that design professional researching all of that, step one, and then laying out with the client, here's what we can do on the property you own, and setting those expectations realistic versus, you know, starting to draw and grabbing a plan from the internet, putting down a piece of property and thinking it's all good. Get someone that can really analyze what the real potential is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I noticed I'm looking at the project that we're talking about in the summer issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine. It looks like they also integrated, or you folks integrated, some solar panels on the roof. There's a metal roof, but also has some solar panels to help heat and cool this house.
Yes, it's being on Daniel Island, those solar panels needed to be hidden. Luckily, we our hidden face of our gable roof was high sun exposure, so we're able to put some panels up there, and the owner is very pleased to have them.
Well, I'm sure that these homeowners and this brand new house are still waking up. I know that I experienced this myself for many, many years, and I guess I've kind of gotten used to our own home after 15 years. But for the first few years, I woke up, you know, at least once a week, I would look at something and say, wow, I'm so glad I hired an architect, because I would have never thought to do this or that or whatever. And they're just sophisticated differences in a home that's designed by an architect. And, you know, I was talking to someone a few years ago who said it's crazy, but homeowners spend more time researching a car, buying a car, than they do, you know, researching hiring an architect, whether you know which architect they're going to hire. And so I would highly recommend, if you're going to make that much of an investment, don't cut corners by eliminating an architect. I think it's interesting, in years past, I don't know when this stopped, but every home was designed by an architect, and I don't know why or how we got away from that, but you know, I can't say enough about the value of hiring an architect. And how can folks get more information about Coastal Creek Design?
So there's, I guess, three main ways. I believe we've got a presence on social media. We certainly have a website, coastalcreekdesign.com. And then you can feel free to give me a call or Brian. My number is 843-819-8947. I'm happy to talk on the phone and see if we can get someone to come in. We're happy to bring clients into the office and chat with them so they can see firsthand how the whole process works.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, we've been focusing a lot on new construction, but Coastal Creek Design can you should look into them to help you with a remodel of your existing home. That Coastal Creek Design can help make the biggest impact with a remodel. And don't forget, those dollars that you're investing into a remodeled home, you'll get paid back when you go to sell the house. And that in itself is a big investment, just like building a new house is. So. Well, we have been talking with Joel Adrian, architect with Coastal Creek Design. Thanks so much for taking the time, Joel.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
And now we're talking with Jack Holt with 84 Lumber. How you doing, Jack?
Good, sir. How are you?
Just fine. Jack, take a moment and tell everyone about 84 Lumber.
So my 84 store is located in Somerville, South Carolina at 2520 West 5th North Street, which is off of Highway 78, and it's right down from Scout Boats before you get to Jedburgh. Mm-hmm. But 84 Lumber is a company, was founded in 1956 and is headquartered in 84, Pennsylvania. 84 is the nation's largest privately held supplier of building materials, manufacturer components, and industry-leading services for single and multifamily residences and commercial buildings. The company operates more than 300 facilities, which include stores, components, manufacturing plants, custom door shops, and engineered wood product centers in 33 states. And 84 Lumber also offers turnkey installation services for a variety of products, including framing, insulation, siding, windows, roofing, and decking.
Gotcha. And you folks at 84 Lumber, I know you do a lot of work with builders, but what about the public?
Yes, all 84 stores are open to the public, and we offer a wide variety of services and products, which normally include the public would be additions, garages, sheds, pole barns, any type of remodeling.
All right, good deal. And what can customers find when they visit an 84 Lumber store?
Basically, anything that someone would need to build a home. We carry framing material, treated lumber to build a fence or a deck, windows, interior, exterior doors, trim and moldings, roofing materials, trusses.
Okay. This is going back, I guess about 30 years or so, but, I recall, visiting an 84 Lumber, one of your stores in Mount Pleasant. And, at the time you had you had plans to build a garage, and it was one of those things that I guess 84 provided at the time, and it had a spec sheet of all the materials that were needed for that. And I ended up taking advantage of that and got all of our lumber from 84 Lumber for that garage. Is that something that 84 Lumber still does?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We have about every size garage, shed you could want to build. And then if we don't have that size, we can still make those plans and get that to you as well. So we can do any type of custom design that you're looking to do.
Okay, good deal. And what's your background with 84 Lumber? When did you get your start there?
So I started with 84 Lumber in 1998 when I was right out of college. And I started in what they call their manager trainee program. And from there, I was promoted to manage multiple stores over the next 26 years. But my wife and I always knew we wanted to be in the Charleston market. So I guess we've been here now a little over 17 years in Somerville, and we love it here.
That's great. That's great. It's good to see people that kind of start at the bottom and work their way up, and you end up knowing the business a lot better than if you just join the company and as a manager or something like that. So that's congratulations to you. How many years have you been with 84 Lumber?
26 years.
Congratulations. That's great.
Thank you, sir.
Speaking of joining 84 Lumber, what kinds of career opportunities are there with 84 Lumber?
So I would encourage anyone to start a career with 84 Lumber, whether that be in our manager trainee program. We also have outside sales, operations, logistics, load builders. They definitely will reward those who put in the hard work and will advance those employees to higher level positions to help build their careers. They offer very competitive wages, incentives. They train very hard. And they offer benefits to all their associates. Well, they're also committed to supporting our military men and women, and we have a great track record of hiring our veterans.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, good deal. And how many stores throughout the Charleston area does 84 Lumber have?
We have the main large store in Somerville, and we have a smaller store there in Mount Pleasant.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Well, and what would you say is like some of the top reasons why folks should be visiting 84 Lumber versus maybe going to a big box store or one of the other independent lumber yards?
Like I said, we train our people very hard to be knowledgeable about all aspects of construction here. So when you get here, our guys definitely know what they're talking about. You also get that one-on-one service. The people that bring you out here also who help you load up in the yard, which is very convenient. And you just get to spend that one-on-one time with our guys, and they really take pride in being with you and selling the material to you.
Gotcha. All right. Well, good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about 84 Lumber?
So you can look us up on 84lumber.com. Also, you can follow us on Glassdoor, LinkedIn, or Indeed.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, we have been talking with Jack Holt, longtime employee at 84 Lumber, and congratulations on that. And look for 84 Lumber within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine. Thanks so much, Jack.
Thank you.
And now we're talking with interior designer Robin Branch with Robin Branch Design. How are you doing, Robin?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Good, good. Robin, take a moment and tell everyone about your interior design practice, Robin Branch Design.
Yes, sir. We are located, our main office is on Amelia Island in Florida. We have an office in South Carolina in Charleston and Charlotte, North Carolina. But we work everywhere. A lot of our clients are high net worth individuals. They have more than one residence. We do a lot of vacation homes as well as, you know, full-time homes. One thing that I've been doing a lot of lately is downsizing. You know, high net worth individuals usually have acquired that over some time. And they have a lot going on. They're kids are grown, you know, they realize we don't need the gigantic house anymore. Even though we do large homes, we also do smaller spaces. We help people age in place and stay in their homes if they want to or downsize. So that's a large part of our market, along with the vacation home, the second home, and their permanent full-time home. So we get to know families very well. We work for the children, you know, we go into the children's homes as these clients age and they want to make their children's home nicer, better. Their kids are starting to grow and they can add some nicer things into the home, so they think, and enjoy their home without worrying about the destruction or anything. We just we have to work with people and pets and children. And that all goes along with our clients. Our commercial clients, not so much, but for our residential clients, that's a must.
Gotcha. And when it comes to the services that Robin Branch Design provides, a lot of people are not aware of exactly what an interior designer can do to help, and they just think, well, they can help me with my furniture placement or this or that, but there's a lot more that goes into being an interior designer. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yes, sir. You are absolutely right about that. You know, a lot of designers say, I'm a counselor, I'm a house cleaner, and we literally do all of it. We're a full service design company, and a lot of people want to pick and choose the services. I just need someone to help me with paint colors. That's all well and good, and that's fine. But what you do is you dilute the process to the point where you don't really get a good product and the designer doesn't really have a good project. And it's about teamwork. It's about liking to work with one another and making that project perfect. So the best time to hire a designer, talk to a designer, is in the very beginning, in the thought process. The perfect scenario is a team. The architect, the builder, if you're building a new home or renovation, you need to bring them on board early on. More than likely, most designers have great builders that they're accustomed to working with. They know they can trust. They know that these builders will back them up. They will back the builder up, and the homeowner will get the best product and the best experience, the best outcome. When I have people that start to pick apart my services, I usually start to bow out because I know that things are going to go wrong. And my name is on that project, and I want it to look good, just like the homeowner does. I think HGTV has ruined a lot of design work for a lot of people. You have to communicate with your client and be realistic with expectations from your designer. Your designer can stage your home for selling, and even though that's sometimes a painful process for people to hear, it does help. And realtors really, really appreciate it. It makes their job a lot easier, and it makes the sale go quicker, easier for everybody. Mm-hmm. Then we can help cherry pick what goes into the new home, whether it's your downsizing, building, renovating, or just, you know, I just want to move in and be comfortable or whatever. Designers can do all of that. Lighting is important. You know, as people age, they need more lighting. We need lighting levels when we're young. Young children need different levels of lighting for their eyes to be healthy. They're just all kinds of safety and health and well-being issues that go into design, not just picking a paint color or a rug.
Right, right. Now, from a homeowner's point of view, when someone hears you say it's really best to be involved early in the process to work with the architect and the builder,
yes.
The homeowner starts to, you know, to hear those dollar signs, a lot of times if you're not pointing out the value of what an interior designer is doing, then it just sounds like they want me to spend money or something. And like, why is an interior designer necessary in the early stages of a project, when they've already hired an architect and they already have a builder? Why can't they just rely on advice from those professionals?
Because not all builders and architects have designers on staff, and not all clients jive with the designer that they do have. So it is a very personal decision. That designer can help you develop your budget. Most people, and any designer will tell you this, most people are clueless when it comes to their budget. They haven't even thought about a budget, and they haven't thought about it realistically if they have. I don't know if, you know, they're paying attention, but if they've filled their car up with gas or done anything, they realize, if they've been to the grocery store, they realize the price increases of late. And you have to really face the music and address that. When you're developing that budget, you have to figure out from your client what's important to them. And often a designer will interview a client while the client's interviewing them for the job. That's how you vet your client. That's how you figure out if the job is doable and if it's realistic and going to work for everyone. And occasionally you get thrown a curveball and you get challenges from clients. But you have to have the wherewithal to think and work with the architect and the builder to get the best result. It's not about just making it perfect and beautiful. Even though you could do that, you've got to make it functional, mm-hmm. and you've got to make it affordable at the same time. And yeah. it's also about the client realizing that they're going to have to spend some money one way or the other. I cannot tell you how many times I've been the third designer in because they haven't communicated well, and the client hasn't gotten what they want, and they're frustrated and they're broke, and that's no fun. It's no fun for anybody. And I'm sure, you know, sometimes there's a good reason for that. Sometimes there's not, but you've got to figure all that out. And those dollar signs are painful. When you've put good money to bad, that's why you should really interview and talk to a designer and sit with one, because they are your voice with everyone else.
What do you say to a homeowner that says, well, you know, I'll just rely on the showroom staff when I go to the tile showroom or the lighting showroom, I'll rely on them to help me pick out these various materials and make sure that the lighting is going to be just so. Why do I need an interior designer
A lot of people feel that way. I mean, that's a really valid point. I rely on showroom staff. They're schooled in the product. They know their stuff. They should, but they don't really know the client. And a lot of showrooms have designers there. But having a designer that's on the job site, that's moving around, having a designer, I know we have over 740 vendors at any given moment. Some I let go, some I pick up that are new. So you're not going to find that from showroom staff. You're not going to find someone that has resources, artists, workrooms, carpenters, handymen, everybody that has to put your home together. At the end, that's going to fall on the homeowner. And I can tell you here and now, people are overwhelmed. When it's move-in day, they are usually a basket case. You know, it's not their groove, I guess. It is mine. I love to organize and put things where they belong. I like for design to make sense. I'm not going to make a chandelier out of paper clips. You know, I'm not that girl. I'm not your person for that. So helping them see their home and helping them know what's going in their home and understand what's in their home, why they bought it, and what they have. Is it an heirloom piece? Can they pass it on to generations? Or are we going to replace it in 5 years? You know, all those things matter, and that's not going to happen in a showroom. None of that will.
Yeah, the term I've always heard over the years is the interior designer knows how to pull it all together, whereas if you're relying on the advice at the tile showroom or the lighting showroom, their expertise is that particular discipline and not necessarily they don't know the overall
right.
Motif of or the scheme of what's happening with the home, so.
Right, right. It's like an orchestra, and none of the, you know, the string section is butting up against the horn section. I mean, you got to have a left hand and a right hand that know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Are at Robin Branch Interior Design, are you going to push your style onto the homeowner, or how? What if the homeowner doesn't really can't describe their particular style?
That's where I ask for photos of things they like, because most people think they have a style, but they don't. So you really have to discover that. And visual is the best way to do it, along with interview. I do have a certain look, and if you say run with it, I will, but I prefer to do what works for the client. Most clients have a piece here or there that they're taking with them, even in a vacation home sometimes. They have something they're not quite ready to let go of. You've got to blend it. You've got to work with it. Would I do it if they said, do your style? No, I probably would not. So you have to take yourself out of your comfort zone and what you love, and you have to make it work for the client. I had a client 2 weeks ago that wanted modern farmhouse. I wanted to stab my eyeballs out. It's not what I like. I never have. I think a farmhouse should be a farmhouse. I don't think a farmhouse is modern. You know, I'm very opinionated. So I'm very vocal, and I tell my clients what I think about what it is they want. And I have a number of clients always who blend styles together. You know, oh, I'm Hollywood glam, but I like ultra modern. They may not even know what ultra modern is. Is it contemporary or is it modern? Do they know? I don't know, but I want my aunt's antique dresser in my bedroom. So, you know, you don't get to do your style as a designer. Certain clients go to certain designers for their look. Do all designers have a look? Yes, they do. They do. They most certainly do. And some designers build their business on that look. you come to them for that, and they don't want anybody who doesn't want that look. So that's your job to vet the designer and find out, you know, are they going to design their look or your look? And I really enjoy doing something different on every project. So I enjoy getting to know my clients and helping them develop their style. That's why I like to educate them on what is going into their home.
Well, very good. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to just throw in my two cents that two particular things about working with an interior designer. First of all, if you want your home to look like it could be in a magazine, all of those homes that you see in a magazine had an interior designer working with the homeowner. So there's that.
Yes.
And then secondly, some homeowners may not be aware of how an interior designer can help them. But once you have worked with an interior designer, you will never want to go solo again. You'll always want that interior designer to help you with any future projects that you have.
Yes, Tim, you are right. Let me tell you. And, you know, builders learn that lesson as well. There are a lot of builders like, oh, my God, there's a designer on the job. It just got harder, and they're going to tell me what to do, and blah, 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 blah. And then there's the builder that is very pro-designer because they realize they're not going to spend 3 hours picking out lighting with their client. You know, we just saved them that. So it has its good and its bad all the way around for everybody. The idea is, again, that teamwork. That team that you build and you choose to do that project for you and make your home kind of as seamless as possible. No construction job is ever perfect. It is an ever changing, ever evolving mass of confusion that if you don't have that team, it's only going to get worse.
Right. Well, how can folks how can folks get more information about Robin Branch Design?
They can go to our website, robinbranchdesign.com. It's all my name, all simple, simple, easy, Robin Branch, Robin Branch Design. And they can look on Instagram, same thing, Facebook, same thing, or they can call us at 904-491-1199.
And Robin is spelled with a Y, R-O-B-Y-N.
It is. Yeah, good point, good point. And we are published. We're in Florida Design, Charleston Style and Design, Laurel Magazine, a number of other publications, local, and just, you know, look for us. I would love to speak to new clients, talk to you about your project. We look forward to it.
And Charleston Home and Design Magazine, wanted to mention that. Well, we've been talking with interior designer Robin Branch with Robin Branch Design. Thanks so much, Robin.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.